I think we can start. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the presentation of BZW BK Group financial results for the first half of 2017. I'm here with the CEO, Michał Gajewski, the CFO, Maciej Reluga, the financial controller, that's Carlos Polaino, and Wojciech Skalski and Paweł Prokopowicz from financial accounting. My name is Agnieszka Dowżycka, and I'm in charge of investor relations. I'm giving the floor to the CEO. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Before we move to the details of the presentation, I'd like to mention three highlights that I think were very important in the first half of this year. The first of which is that we paid out dividend for the profit retained for 2014 and 2015, which confirms our strong capital positions and also confirms the fact that we are ready to pay out dividend. At the same time, we successfully issued subordinated bonds worth $150 million, paid out in Euro IFC green bonds. That was the first issue of this kind on the Polish market. The third thing I would like to mention is the Best Bank in Poland, the award that we received from Euromoney for the first time in a row. Now, I'd like to talk a bit about the macro environment in Poland. I think it is good. We see GDP growth of 4%. Maciej will talk about this in detail. We see also this is also reflected in our customers' activity, especially individual customers. This growth is mainly driven by consumption. The unemployment rate is at the record, historically record low level. We'd like to, of course, to see more investments on the corporate and business side, but we think investment will accelerate in the second part of this year and at the beginning of 2018. Looking at our core business, after the first quarter when we were presenting the results, you could see if you compare it, we see acceleration. March was particularly good. Then this upward trend, the dynamics that was continued throughout April, May, and June. Let me underline that those results and the increase in business, it was visible not only at the bank, but also in our subsidiaries, and that refers to SCB, our leasing and factoring subsidiaries, as well as our TFI. All of those entities generated very good performance, very good growth. So our operating income is on the rise. Our situation is solid despite the demanding environment with increasing competition and the stricter regulatory environment. We're focusing on our current operations and on generating long-term value for our stakeholders. We're going through a transformation process now, a digital transformation program that's being successfully implemented. Let me move now to slide number four. If we see a few figures, we've got a growth in the deposit portfolio by 4%, but by 3% year-on-year, a growth in loans by 4%. Our stake in the market exceeds 10% in both of those portfolios, so we've got a good scale to generate good returns. Together with SCB, we have a portfolio of 6.5 million customers. We should underline that That includes 3.25 million digital customers, those with access to electronic banking services. Similar to the market, we see that customers now switch from branch banking to remote channels. We manage 4 million personal accounts. PLN account portfolio grew by 4% year-on-year. So good results here. Slides 5 and 6, where we present our strategy and our main strategic objectives, those have not changed. We continue. Those are four main pillars we base our activities on, and our objectives in all of them are quite ambitious. Both we can only deliver our financial objectives when we're the first choice employer and the first choice bank. So we make sure that we create good development conditions for our employees so that we're attractive to top talents in this quite challenging labor market, competitive labor market. We now compete not only with financial institutions when it comes to attracting IT talents, but also other types of institutions. This is why it's very important that we have a competitive advantage in that respect. And of course, take very good care of the talents we have already at the bank. When it comes to our customers, the strategy is based. Our strategy is to increase their satisfaction level. We pay great attention to a Net Promoter Score. We look at that ratio every month in all distribution channels. Of course, we are a local bank. That's why we care a lot for our local communities through a number of initiatives, especially where our branches are located. And of course, the fourth area, our stakeholders. We're here to generate returns for them. And that strategy will continue. Nothing is changing in that respect. Let's now move to slide number 7.
As I've mentioned, we have more than 3.25 million digital clients, of which nearly 1 million, that is 962,000 clients, are those who use mobile services. The pace in which the number of those clients grows is incredible. It's 25% year on year. And what is more impressive is the pace of growth in which the number of transactions grows in the mobile channel quarter on quarter. That is, comparing quarter one to two, the growth is by 800,000 of that type of transactions. So we can see that clients do like what we propose to them, our functionalities, as they are those that meet their expectations. So they're very much willing to use our proposition. We can also see that it's not only transactional banking, but we also can see a lot of sales via remote channels, especially to personal clients. It's a record high growth in the sale of credit products, in nearly by 50%. Credit cards, to give you an example, their sale in remote channels increased by 21% in quarter two and quarter one. We keep investing in new technologies. As I've said, part of our strategy is to progress digital transformation. We want not only to catch up with the needs of our clients, but we want to preempt them. quite soon we will provide them access to full video verification that will not be based only on biometry and video advisor check, but on the technology that will facilitate client identification, and that will be a unique thing on our market. Quite soon, we will also provide access to the trusted profile and trusted services platform or the remote electronic signature. So that's what we are going to make part of our proposition quite soon. We also want to show our new strategy, how we approach the strategy to offering products. I'll tell you about that only after summer. But we do want to build the bank in the way the customer wants it to be, with the products and services that fully meet customer expectations. I'll tell you about that after summer. On slide number 8. More figures. As I've said, the growth in deposits by 3%, but what is important is the mix of that growth. 13% growth in current deposits, which makes us very happy. 10% growth in saving accounts. Just like in the market, there is a decline in term deposits. And this is driven by the fact that some clients transfer their resources to investment products, and Maciej will elaborate on that later. I can only tell you that the mutual funds saw the growth of 15% year on year. When it comes to loans, 4% growth primarily driven by personal loans, first of all by mortgage loans, 19% growth year on year. But this is also driven by the cash loans, the big growth in quarter two when we sold 1.5 billion worth of these loans. After 6 months, this is 2.1 billion. Business loans, first of all, here really good performance as regards SMEs. The growth there, quarter on quarter, is 17%. Okay, let us switch to slide number 9. So let us talk about our financial performance. As you know very well, the profit after the half year is 1.1 billion zlotys. And on the underlying basis, this is growth by 12% year on year. That is without a one-off that we had last year with Visa, 316 million, and the additional excess costs compared to last year of levies to BFG of 33 million. We paid the tax of 624 million altogether, including 211 million in banking tax and 413 million in corporate income tax, which is 13% more than last year. So this is the contribution of our bank to the state's budget. Total income 3.8 billion zloty. On underlying basis, this is 5% better than last year. What is worth mentioning here, and Maciej will tell you more about that, is that this income on core business, interest income, non-interest income, we have 10% growth year on year. 3% growth in the fee income. Of course, what is important is the quality of the loan book. NPLs decreased down to 5.91. The risk charge is 0.66%. On the slide 10, you can see how this translates into our ratios. When it comes to return on equity, it's more than 11%. Loans to deposits for the group 96.3%, for the bank on a standalone basis is 89%. So we have a good liquidity position. The capital ratios are also good. They improved. Tier 1 is 15.5%, while the TCR is 16.51%. So from my perspective, this was a really successful half year, really good quarter two. And what we've been saying at the conference after quarter one, we did deliver. Before we go to questions and answers, I'll hand over to Maciej.
Dziękuję bardzo.
Thank you, Michał. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to go through the macro slides, and then we'll move to the micro perspective. Not a lot of development. We did not have to revise our provision. The GDP growth, we think, will be close to 4%, second quarter slightly lower than the first one. What's important is some dissonance we see among the MPC members in terms of the interest rates. We assume one hike at the end of 2018 and then another one in 2019, as you can see on slide number 12. The exchange rate, PLN is stable to euro. We've got some range of 5 grosha, but euro is quite strong to other currency. That means PLN is also strong to other currency. Hence, it's stronger to the Swiss franc. I will be also talking how it impacts the amortization of our Swiss franc book. Then we see the breakdown of GDP. The growth is driven by consumption. The export, especially due to the revival in Germany, is also quite strong. So the strong demand today, internal and external, good projections in that respect, together with a good production capacity utilization, and including the situation on the labor market, we see that corporates and corporations and businesses will be forced to invest more money to increase that output. In December in 2016, we already projected that the investment boom will come in 2018. However, the end of 2017 should also see some better results already. We expect to see some good signs already. In 2017, we saw some growth in quarter two. On the following slide, we've got loans and deposits. Michał has talked about it already. A few things that I want to mention. The first thing is that personal loans are growing faster than business and corporate loans. I want to show this growth in the business and corporate segment. On the deposit side, the first thing is that we see outflows to some alternative forms of investment, and I'll be also elaborating on that. When it comes to corporate deposit, we've got drop in nominal terms. Since the end of 2016, this drop is more significant, but we, as you probably know, we entered 2017 with some excess liquidity. Okay, let's move to the results. You don't need a long story for a success story, but let me just talk about some highlights. Slide 16. We've got a 10% growth in the interest and fee income. In the first quarter, it was 8.3 in the first quarter, and so in... So the sole quarter two, so a significant growth. We've got good cost discipline, lower cost. Those costs would have been lower if we excluded those one-off elements like BFG. It's difficult to surprise you with those costs, as you are all quite used to the fact that we are quite lean in that respect. But we're still showing decreases on a year-to-year basis. And of course, we want to keep the costs under control. On a like-for-like basis, we had some one-off elements like Visa and BFG. We could say that in the first half of 2017, we are paying one more month of banking tax. Then this growth would be even higher than 12%. On the following slides, you see the volumes in business, some interesting information. I encourage you to look at the attachment to this presentation, showing you breakdowns, leasing, factoring, cash loans, and mortgage loans. Here we see an increase of mortgage loans by almost 20%. Amortization for FX is 7% due to the PLN appreciation. It's 12%. In terms of cash loans, we've got an increase by 11% quarter to quarter. New sales, according to the latest data, that's for May, our slice in the market is 13%, so that's the best this year. We'll look at the data for June, but we expect this will be continued because the sales level are still quite good. When it comes to the cash loans in Q2, we sold loans worth over 1 billion zlots. In terms of SME, we've got, apart from those really good results, sales higher by 70%, we have leasing and factoring that complement our SME product mix. They, of course, also support the core business and corporate segment. The corporate portfolio, you know, the whole market, the situation is that the growth rate is generally slower. We should also observe that in the property segment, we've got amortization close to 20%. When it comes to renewals, we've got quite high competition observed from financial institutions headquartered outside of Poland and hence not paying the banking tax. If we exclude the property segment, commercial property, then we've got the growth in the corporate loans that is quite good. When it comes to projected demand for Q3, we see some increase, and I expect that by the end of the year, we will have the same kind of growth like we observe on the market. On the deposit side and the funds under management, because what I want to draw your attention to are the funds under management. You see that on slide number 80, we see an increase by almost 2 billion. In what we saw in the first quarter, that were quite high. In quarter two, they were even higher. What's very interesting, we had the net sales and revaluation. They had the same effect on that ratio. In the second quarter, net sales had a much larger impact, two-thirds. More of that sales is realized, most of that sales is done for remote channel, three-fourths. We saw really good trends already in the first quarter, and they were strengthened in the second quarter. When it comes to the deposits, we've got a high growth in current deposits. We've got the trends that we continue. Term deposits, we've got drops here. I've already talked about the corporate deposits. and I was talking about it in terms of the net interest margin, because you remember this had an impact on the drop in the first quarter. I already said during our presentation that this was temporary and that trend would reverse, and we see that clearly on that chart that it has. I think that this increase in NIM is more on the asset side than on the deposit side. And let me remind you that at the beginning of the year, we said that NIM could go up throughout the year by a few basis points each quarter, and I can maintain that view comparing the data now to the quarter four 2016. We have an improvement 3 basis points. Net interest income, we've got an increase of 12% year on year. In the first quarter, we've got 11.5%, and in quarter one, in quarter two, we've got as high as 30%.
Fees, next slide, 20, slide number 20. A lot of good news here as well. We have growth on the number of lines driven by the higher loyalty, bigger number of transactions, progress by our clients, the better relationships. What is worth noting are the lines relating to capital markets. I've already talked about our investment funds, Arkam. This is combined by very high growth, as you can see, several tens of percent in brokerage fees. I think it's also worth highlighting the FX line, which after first quarter, when we had the growth in 2%, in quarter two, we had the growth by 8% year on year. And what is worth noting as well is that this fee income includes also fee expenses. In quarter two, like in quarter one, on the SCB side, we have long-term relationships with different counterparty sales networks. In the short term, we have the expense, but in the long term, of course, the relationships boost our bottom line. And that's what happened in quarter two. We extended those agreements, and but for that, we would have better performance. 3% better year on year, but after first quarter, which was around zero, there was 0.5% growth on annual basis in quarter alone. In quarter two alone, it was more than 5%. Total income. Apart from the lines I have already mentioned, we have Visa that impacts the comparability of the data. We have dividends, as expected last year. We had that in quarter one. This year it's in quarter two. And I'm talking about dividend from Aviva. Well, we can really talk about a fly in the ointment here. That is net trading income revaluation. In previous quarter, it was in the order of 50, 55 million. Now in quarter two, it's below 40. So looking across the past 2 years, it's rather a low outturn for the last 2 years. But looking at the pace of growth in quarter two alone, it was positive. June was really the best. And we started quarter three with good momentum. So I think that the decline in that line will be only temporary. When it comes to costs, well, the story here is, as it used to be, the line which require growth, investments, depreciation, they grow. Despite higher cost of BFG, we have a decline year on year. And there is a detailed description on the slide, so I don't have to dwell on that. If you have any questions, please go ahead later in the QA session. Provisions, loan loss provisions, and the quality of the loan book. Slide number 23. Well, you have to read it together with number 24, and there we show you the details on the sales of NPL portfolios. In quarter two, just like in quarter one, we sold NPL portfolios. We sold NPL portfolios. That, of course, drove down the risk charge, and it also drove down the NPL ratio. Our guidance as for the cost of credit risk for the whole year was in the order of 80 basis points, based on the assumption of normal conditions. Of course, the sales of NPLs drives down the risk charge, and it's easy to calculate that what happened in the first 6 months determines that even if the risk charge was in the second half year in the order of 80 basis points, this still implies that the risk charge will not increase from that level with other conditions unchanged. We can see that here for quarter three and quarter four, even if we did not assume a big growth in lended in the order of 110, 80 basis points implies 880, and we have 220. So we have quarter three and four on the same level. So the cost of credit risk in quarter three and four overall for this year should be the same. Yet the guidance as to the cost of credit risk without any extra impacts is still 80 basis points. And in my opinion, this is the right guidance. On the next slide, we have BFG and KNF costs. That's been already mentioned. We announced you in quarter one that in this quarter two, there will be additional 70 million there. As you know, in quarter one, we did recognize the cost on estimate basis, but then we got the real cost of the fees paid to be paid to the resolution fund, so there are no surprises. Nearly the last slide, that is profit overall. All lines been discussed. Maybe let me highlight the effective tax rate, which, as compared to quarter one, clearly decreased. That was primarily driven by the dividend that is under the withholding tax, and additionally, we had a smaller fee paid to BFG and a bit lower gain on the sale of NPLs, but undoubtedly the key factor here was the dividend. Well, summarizing the half year, not going through all the lines on this slide, number 26. First of all, the macroeconomic environment positive. It impacts favorably the condition of our clients. After the performance in the first quarter, I highlighted to you a couple of things, that the NIM decline was temporary and that it will grow, and it did happen. I highlighted to you the pace of growth in quarter one and that we wanted to maintain that in upcoming quarters. And I think that when looking at individual lines, especially in loans, you can see that in quarter two, and we would like this to continue in upcoming quarters. Subsidiaries, really good outturn in SCB, leasing, factoring, clear growth in portfolios. All that translates into a high net interest income, high fee income. If we combine this with the operating costs under control and lower cost of risk, then we get our quarter two profit, which is a really robust one, in my opinion. So if you have any questions, please go ahead.
Michał Konarski from mBank. I have a question to clarify a certain issue when it comes to the provision balance. Even if adjusted by the NPL sales, it was very good looking at the average you reported in the previous quarters. What impacted this drop? Was that on the corporate side or on the retail side? And I would also like you to specify this if we cleanse this provisions balance from this NPL sales, do you think you can sustain it in the forthcoming quarters? If we exclude, well, those provisions balance that includes the last four quarters, if we excluded those elements, the risk charge would be about, slightly higher than 80 basis points, which was our guidance. The guidance from 80 basis points in a normal conditions, it's still applicable, but I can't say that we won't be selling any non-performing books in the second half of the year. Even if we assume the 80 basis points for the second half of the year, then including what happened in the first half of the year, the total risk charge will be below 70 or even below the 66 basis points, because this 80 basis points implies nominally lower levels than what we saw in the second part of 2016. When it comes to the just a basic for risk charge here, there are just some extraordinary cases when we have to when it's increased. Just want to talk about the coverage ratio. This was impacted by the fact that the NPLs, they had slightly lower coverage than the average. And apart from that, there was some one-off parameters on the corporate side. That's why this improved the coverage ratio. But the net balance of provisions here for the portfolio looks very good. No big development. I have a question when it comes to the net balance of provisions. You've got very good market from very good results from the capital markets. Will that be maintained? Were there some extraordinary incidents that have to be taken into consideration in the fee income? So the second quarter, that's our starting point for Q3 or Q4, or was that just a singular incident? When it comes to total net fee income, of course, we'd like to maintain that trend, but what I can't tell you that all the line will perform in the same way. We have an increase of 40%. I don't know if they can be generated. This is highly dependent on some external factors also. The same applies to the management fees. They, of course, impact the net fee income. We'll see how capital markets will perform in the next in the in half two of the year. But in some fee lines, if we have higher volumes, higher transaction level, then of course we can see the increase. If one of the lines does not maintain this growth rate, but there will be other lines that will be performing better. We see that in some of the lines the growth is one digit, but you should remember that the net fee income here, comparing to other financial institutions, what's the reference point here? It's difficult to grow by 10% in a situation when the reference point is much higher. So a 5% growth, if it's maintained, even if the structure of that income is different, that would be great.
Mateusz, if we could go back for a minute to the cost of risk, because here, the effect of NPL sales is lower than in previous quarters, while provisions overall are lower despite that. So if we get into details, we have much lower identified losses, and we can see that there is a difference when we break down into segments. We have a difference in Santander by 16 million of write-downs of write-backs, and we will, if we exclude the sales of NPLs in Santander, we are at zero. So what is the nature of this decline? Is it one-off, or is there a real improvement? From the top of my mind, I think it's 20 in provisions in total, of which 6 are tops up, so minus 14. So what you can see on slide number 23. Or maybe 16. Well, okay. This is the result, which is better than the average in previous quarters. Is it sustainable? Well, I think we'll rather come back to the average for previous quarters. Well, I think that we can add that traditionally for the half year we reviewed the risk parameters and it had some one-off impact on June. So as a result of this review, some amounts were written back, but they were not that material really to change the overall picture. Are there any other questions? If I could, one more question on Consumer Bank. It seems to be a phenomenal 240 million in PBT. For the first time, there is 200, and also what you paid for that, 3.5 billion. And now they actually contribute 240 million before tax. Is it a one-off? And will they come back to the average 155 as witnessed before, or is that going to be the period when this bank is really capable to show 200 as the first figure, given the macroeconomic environment and the costs of risk and so on? If you look at the pace of growth in sales in SCB, they suggest that there is a lot of sustainable growth. Will that be that big going forward? We don't give any guidance as when it comes to profits, especially with the breakdown into BZWBK and SCB. So I think I'm not going to give you a direct answer. Of course, this is also important that they signed new agreements with large chain networks, and that will determine the growth in business volumes. And this is PSA, so their Peugeot leg, the leasing one, that previously did not contribute to their results. And one more question about fees and commissions. You can see we can see some divergence. The part of this fee income grows at the same pace as the market. For example, assets under management, while the fees for credit decline several percent year on year, and the same goes for insurance fees, 20% less year on year. The question is, well, we have the mBank, where this fee income grows 20%, Millennium 16, in your case it's 5%, and you talk about different base, but in other lines, you are in line with the market, while in the case of loans and insurance, it seems to be a weaker performance. Is it temporary, or is it sustainable, or what is it? Bank insurance, well, if my memory serves me right, this was a different way of reflecting, disclosing the fee income in bank insurance. And we still have the effect of that here. But as I said before, we work very hard on improving our proposition, and we expect that it will be better, and thanks to that we will be able to grow our fee income. Bank insurance, if we look at the first 6 months, of course we have the effect of the first quarter here, the effect of the base that was very much visible in FCB, and we talked about that when discussing quarter one performance, the change in the regulations from the 1st of April 2016, and that hits the 6 months performance in this year, and that's a big decline.
I have one more question, if I may. Profit distribution for 2017, if it turns out that the regulator issues recommendations that would suggest that this profit cannot be distributed, would you consider some alternative methods of excess capital utilization? I don't know, for example, a merger or acquisition on a Polish market. I have underlined this on several occasions since I became CEO. We will be focusing on the organic development. We'll be concentrating on the market and on the customer. That's our strategy. But I've also expressed it on a number of occasions that if we see some great opportunities on the market, then we will, of course, be looking into them. When it comes to the profit distribution, that will not be changed. We'll do everything we can to pay out the returns to the shareholders. Staying in that context, buyback, would you consider that because KNF has some lower possibilities to block that? Or this, would your policy allow for buyback? Our policy, it remains the same. We want to pay out dividend. Have you got any more questions? If you don't, thank you very much for participating in the presentation. I would like to invite you to the room next door for an unofficial part of the meeting.
Dziękuję bardzo i do widzenia.
Thank you very much.